men's day next year. And the whole topic we break off of is this very verse right here, where, Lord, here am I, send me. Because the God's calling us. And just like here, he's calling us. But we got to answer. If we don't answer that calling, if we don't answer what God is leading us to, that stuff's not going to get done. So we need to look in our lives and see and talk about this philosophy of the calling of God. Because we're here for a reason. There's a purpose for each and every one of us. There's a purpose we're here. It's more than the purpose for we're here. And so I wanted to look at those this morning. First Peter 2, verse 9 tells us, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light." Do you realize that? We're a chosen people. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. And his special people. So let me ask you something. If God's people doesn't do this calling, who is? If God does his people doesn't do this calling, who is going to do this calling that God has called us to do? This last part I really like. And he, last part of pulling us out of darkness into a marvelous light. This is a dark world. We just talked about how dark and how bad and how rough it's getting and how rough it's going to get. But we are the marvelous light. How many of y'all went to saw the fireworks in the Super Bowl? Jerry, you probably had some, didn't you? I know the guy out there, he works, he had it at his house. I worked the last 4 or 5 of the four leagues that had to work there. And last year, it wasn't very impressive compared to what I thought this year. I had a different company this year. But when did they do the fireworks? Did you do yours in the middle of the day? Doing that. Why? See, how impressive they are. Sit back in the, I had a perfect view of the command post where I was at. Sit back in the hill and watch the fireworks and see these fireworks and shoot just break up out of the middle of the night. All the beautiful colors, how bright, it's amazing to see those fireworks, how they glow off. So many different colors. But let me give you an idea to think about this morning. You are just like that. We're in the middle of darkness, and God wants to shoot you off up into the darkness and for everybody to turn around and look and be amazed how beautiful the light is that God does to you. We're in a dark world, but we can make it beautiful. We can make a difference in this world. We can make where people look at us and say, yes, that's definitely different. That's how amazing our Christianity and our Christian life could be. If we have that attitude that we're going to do God's calling, we're going to be just like those fireworks on the 4th of July in the middle of the night, lighting off. And everybody looking around and saw that point here, right over here. That's how we can impact this world today. That's how the big impact. And the darker it gets, the more beautiful we get. If you think about the first century church, they were persecuted to the point that they were left dead in the street. But the church grew there under that persecution. It spread out and grew large back then. Judy, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I was
just going to
say, we have to remember that.
And
scripture tells us that we're called to be our mission. Go out into darkness and let people know that there's something better. To bring God's into his fold, And by the way, you need the money and how you come. I think that's a big part of what you're about. Your daily living is totally different from the way the world is. People will see it. And people will want to know why I do the way you are. How can you get to the class of what you do? You know, they see the difference in us and they want to know.
Exactly. And you're leading into the sermon for later on, and that's the whole thing of the lesson this morning is the gift that's talking. Because we as Christians have really brought it up lately in public classes, we need to look for opportunities. Opportunities to do good to others, opportunities to help one another. We need to look for opportunities. Instead of getting busy in our life each and every day, it's easy to uplift one another as we're in this room. But we act as we need out here. Those fireworks are not shining really bright like this morning because it's all light here. It's hard to see the influence or impact we have when we're enclosed in this building. The impact we're going to have is when we walk out these doors this morning. The impact that you're going to have in the building is how you walk out these doors. There's a purpose us being here this morning. I'm going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. But there's a reason why we're here this morning, and we need to take advantage of every opportunity we have to spend together. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But our brightness shines out there. And we need to look for those opportunities to shoot off those fireworks.
You know, Betty made a good point one time when she said, we are very noble. And when we need each other out, in the world, we are still the same other people. That's the point. We have to remember, even when we meet here, we are still the church. We are still needing to represent God to the best of our ability. And it's beautiful to see when you're out and you see Christians recognize one another and treat one another kindly, speak to one another instead of just. I also see Christians that just walk right past each other, know full well who they are. But I love it. I love it when I run into one of my brothers or sisters out in the world and get hugged. And people notice that too. You know, when you hug each other out in the world and talk to each other. Who knows? You want to know. Really, the public, and then being able to have it in the market is a great idea.
and you invited back an opportunity. Know in Romans 8, verse 28, it tells us this. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. Key to that. All things work out for good. No matter what you're going through, as long as you're doing your calling, God's calling, I didn't say right, but it's God's calling. And everything will work out for the good. It's hard to see sometimes when we have the Red Sea events that we talk about all the time, where the devil's, you're doing what you're supposed to, he's trying to knock you down in any way you can. But I want y'all to realize this last part. For those who are called according to whose purpose? God's purpose. And we'll talk about this more when we get in the sermon about the purpose. Whose purpose are we here for? God's purpose. We get ourselves count. As you leave this church building, it's easy to understand that this morning because we're here doing God's purpose. But we'll talk about it later in just a couple minutes. It's easy to understand that while we're here. But when we get outside in our everyday busy life, isn't it so easy to get caught up on our purpose? Our purpose to go to work, our purpose to be in this place, our purpose for this and that. When every aspect of our life it should be a focus on whose purpose? God's purpose. We get so wrapped up in our daily lives that God is a Sunday morning event or a Wednesday night, if we're lucky, event in our life. Actions speak louder than words. Show God's life in you and how you act. I can say I'm a Christian all day long. And I can say I stand for the truth, but if they look at my life and see something totally different, they know I'm telling a lie. So we have to look at our lives and make sure that each and every day when we're in the workplace, do you look like a Christian in the workplace? Do you look like a Christian when you're out on the road and somebody cuts in front of you? Do you look like a Christian when you're at the grocery store and the line's 15 million people long and you have 3 items and there are people in there that have 40 items in a 10 item line? You're going, man, they shouldn't be in that line. Does that show out there? Because those opportunities when people don't know you, see you, that's an opportunity for that light to shine in this dark world. How do you handle your crisis? The devil tries to throw that in your future. That shows the world, just like we were talking about how we handle our crisis, it shows the world that it's okay. And then goes, how is it okay? We talk about that going under God's understanding and not our understanding. It's okay. Because we know the outcome. If we show that to people, we give them that hope that we'll talk about in a little bit, but God's calling me because of that hope that we have, they're going to say, hey, I want to be a part of that. But if they see us handle their everyday life just like they handle their everyday life, I don't want to be part of that. Anyone different would be like, Martin, how are you doing this morning? Here we go. Ephesians 4:4-6. There is one body, one spirit, just as we are called to one hope when we were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One body. You know what I was talking about earlier, that this is important to come together each and every time that we can have an opportunity to come together? Good. Because this is important. And this is why
Did you have?
I know, it's not like I missed it earlier. Say is anything you think about it, and that's the big debate in the church: wine, beer, stuff like that.
And they do drink moderately, but I don't drink moderately.
But
you know, if you drink moderately, you know, the Bible doesn't disagree with that.
Right. Now, if there was this whole concept we were just talking about here. That there is one body and one spirit, just as we are called to one hope. If I was standing right here, and any of y'all could come running out of your seat and hit me, what would happen to me? I would fall to the ground. No matter what your size, you come in here, if you come in there and hit me, I would fall down. But let me tell you why this is important, what we're doing here this morning. Because we come together under one body. So if I hooked up arms with you and another person, we hooked up arms and we stood together, hooked in arms, and we created this chain, somebody come running around and try to hit me and same again, hit me really hard, I'm going to go back, but I'm not going to fall. Because I'm locked in, the brother over here and the brother over here, we're all locked in arms, we're in line. We develop strength from one another. Because it's still going to hit me, but I can tell you from experience, the devil's going to hit you and it's going to hurt. There's no way around it, because when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, the devil's going to be attacking you every opportunity he can. It's going to hurt, but you're not going to fall if I was standing alone. If I'm locked in arms with my brothers and sisters, I'm going to step back a little bit, but my brothers and sisters are going to pull me right back up and say it's okay. We need this opportunity every chance we come together. Our Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings are always smaller numbers than our worship service. But we need to take advantage of being here every opportunity, because God's wise in his wisdom of making the church. Because he knows you can't travel through this world on your own. We have a family for a reason, because they hold us up. They are our strength. And we become one body, one spirit. And we're called to the one hope. And the one hope that we have is Jesus Christ. And because he died on that cross. We will talk about that later on this morning. He died on that cross, but he rose again. And we have that hope because he conquered death. And we have a brothers and sisters that can tell us, hey, hang in there. We're here for one hope. We're here for one purpose. We all have the same calling. We may not choose the calling. That's the thing we got to look at, that we may not choose the calling. But it's there.
Well, you know, then Moses didn't choose to do what he had to do either.
He
followed every step of the way.
Like our Russ says, you're stepping ahead of him. That's all right. That's what I want. I want these thoughts to, especially when you're sitting in that, when this morning in the auditorium and you're listening to me preach. I want these thoughts to come through your mind about what I'm speaking with. You have a little bit of advantage compared to everybody else because you prep for the sermon. Because when I start to go in there, I have less time up there than I do right now. So you get those points from the cross. Somebody please turn to 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12 for me, please. Thessalonians chapter 1, 11 and 12.
Wherefore also we pray always
that our God would count me worthy of his call and fulfill all the pleasure of his goodness and the work of faithful power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Are you worthy of the calling? Remember when we were talking about we are a special people. We're a holy nation. We're a priesthood. We need to make sure that we are meeting that worthy call. Not just in here while we're here this morning, but the opportunities that we have outside of this building. If you're a priesthood, let's go to England and the royal family. They walk down the street, don't you know they're a little bit different than everybody else? Can't you tell that they're different? The way they present themselves, the way they dress, the way they act, all that. As Christians, we should stick out in this world. They're going to see that we're different. We've got to be worthy of that calling. So let us think about that as we go through our day-to-day lives as we work. Our whole purpose is that we glorify who? God. That purpose. It's not our purpose in life. We're here for a reason. I'm going to know more about that than I will do later. We're here for a reason. But what happens once we leave this place so often? Become another person. Get caught up in the world. Get caught up in our everyday life. It becomes now our purpose and no longer God's purpose. And it's so easy to do. I'm just as fond as anybody else in this room. We get caught up in my day-to-day life. We get caught up at work. We get caught up at home, in my home life. We get caught up with my own struggles and trials and tribulations. What would you? Yeah, I get caught up in those. That was so rough for me that I forget what I'm here for. Because it answers all those questions about the woe for me. It answers the questions that after that was working on me more reading. Talked about earlier that other people don't have. You have a home to go to where other people don't have. So no matter what situation you get into, no matter how bad it gets, it's always better. Because you know all things work out for good. And I'll be honest with you, I've been taking so many different directions just in the last several weeks that got to focus on God, because every time that I pray about a certain situation, it's been working out. Not working out the way I want it to work out, because I want the whole problem to be gone, to be honest with you. I want all allegations to be gone, I want the whole problem to be gone, I want it all to be gone, but it's not. But things are working out. Exodus 4, verses 10 to 12. Somebody will read that. And then I'm going to read you the language for that. Exodus 4, 10 through 12. I'm going to say that one. Exodus 4, 10 through 12.
Oh,
what is the daily terms on it? Moses said, no, Lord, don't send me. I have never been a good speaker. I haven't become one since you began speaking to me. I'm a poor speaker. I'm slow. I'm hesitant. The Lord said to him, who gives you the man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or dumb? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? It is I, the Lord. Now go, I will help you to speak, and I will tell you what to say. That's what Moses said when he first said, no, don't send me, Lord, because I'm not capable. You know, I'm not capable at all. Go ahead.
I just have one comment about that. What you just read. You said, yeah, for me. And I said that because I had a deaf mute. I had a deaf mute sister. And it bothered me to call them deaf and dumb because they're not dumb.
Right.
They're not just mute.
Right. And it's just a terminology of the time.
Exactly.
Not
exactly.
Well,
I don't like
to talk
about it. I'm just passing it out.
Yep.
In the Bible, if you go to verse 13, Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Take someone else. You know, it's... How often do we kind of feel the same way? Let someone else do the job.
Yeah, why me, Lord?
Yeah.
That's what we say. Why me? Why do you want me to do that? Do you not know what I'm not capable of? But let me give you a couple thoughts before we get to another thought. You know, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, many are called, but few are chosen. Pretty much, God calls us, but we choose not to be chosen. We make that decision. God calls us up, and he doesn't line literally up and says, oh, well, I want you, well, I want you, and then I want you. No, it goes, I want you, 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 and I want you. And someone on that line will step up and say, here am I, Lord, send me. But there'll be others who be doing this.
There'll be others
who
be, send me.
You see me? I really don't want to be noticed. I really don't want to be noticed. Listen to this verse in John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, your Father will give. We didn't come here this morning and say, I choose God. All right, God, I choose you. We do, but he has already chosen us. Why did he choose us? What kind of fruit? What are the fruits that we talk about in the Bible? Love. Peace. And we're kind. And we're supposed to bear those types of fruits. And how do they last? God's fruits that bear through us. They last forever. They're not a fruit that sits on the kitchen table that rots. It's one that lasts forever. But we've got to be the one to do that for the Lord. God shows people love, kindness. There's opportunity to talk about this. We've got to be out there breeding those fruits. What kind of blessings are we going to get from? Let's just say at the end, the promise of God. Ask me in prayer, and I'll give it to you. You need something, you need it. Need me? Ask me. That's a promise from God. Try it. See how it works. If you do his will and his purpose and do his work, then go to him and ask him, Lord, I need help from you. He promises you to answer his will. It's not a fruit that just bears for other people, but it bears for us too. Jerry talked about it all the time. He's done it in the midst by several times. He talked about, all right, test God's promise and see how it works. Try it. And that's what we need to look at. So let me turn to 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and verse 27. You got about 5 minutes more left in class. that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 and verse 27. Choosing those who are not wise and not noble. Ordinary people, he's taking and shaming the wise and shaming the weak. He's taking us as ordinary people. So let me ask you this question. So do you seriously think God can't use you? That's what we need to realize. And so often we tell, I don't have, just like Moses, don't send me. Don't send me, please. Send somebody else for me. Because I don't have those abilities. I've said it before in many classes, it's not your abilities that he's working off of. It's your lack of abilities that he's glorifying in himself. He's taking the weak and making them strong. He's taking the foolish and making them wise for those who think they are. He's taking those who are not a noble standing that have no influence in this world whatsoever and making them an influence in this world. That's the type of people he's looking for.
Also goes to stepping out of faith. You know, I'm always the believer for believer or called on me one day, and I was a Christian for maybe a year. He called on me and he said, we need the future for class of the new ones. And I believe they were like 2 or 3 years. And I told him, I said, really, I don't know enough to teach them. And he asked me, you know, it takes a step of faith to do the work that God has put before you. Teaching, I'm still terrified whenever I lead a ladies class or our Saturday class. I'm still petrified. But I know if God is with me, how can I go wrong? You know.
A lot of y'all know my story. I can read just fine as long as I read it to myself. As soon as I start to read, I just start to get some of the verse, the word change for me. And that's one of my biggest fears, getting through the verses that I read and stuff like that. Because I'm really perceptive. If you get more nervous, what happens? It makes it worse. But you can't make excuses. You've got to take opportunities to teach, opportunities to do God's will. And when it comes to being a part of this church, I encourage you. I know Jerry does, and I know Russ does, and I know Dale does, and Ray does. I encourage you to step outside of your comfort zone. Because you'll be surprised what you can accomplish. I can tell you from firsthand experience, stepping out of this comfort zone, this is the place to do it, right? In front of your family, your brothers and sisters, because even though I stumbled through verses at times during the middle of sermon, I catch it. God will catch it, or God will save it, or God will encourage it all the way through. Right? Not this family. Because I'm going to tell you, the other families.
But sometimes the families are the worst judge, and they hurt you instead.
But that's something we can look forward to here, because I have never had that in this family. I know sometimes people say something, think they're doing good, and I may take it the wrong way, but I know their heart, so I know. Thank you. you notice it. Because I make comments like that all the time to the men and say, hey, you need to step up. Look at the ladies' examples up here. Ladies' Day. Don't televise a lot of those different things in there and see the different individuals that I've never seen step up in testimony or read signals or stuff for ladies. I'm proud of the ladies. I just tell you to keep doing it, keep stepping out of the comfort zone. Don't get settled where you are. Never be settled where you are. Always look to step out of that comfort zone. So, y'all are doing an awesome job, and you need to keep it up and keep stepping out of that comfort zone. Then, you need to keep stepping out of our comfort zone. You need to take on classes that you may not have taken on before. You need to take on programs that you never took on before. Because, you know, Russ's lesson, y'all really listening to it, when he speaks in Hebrew, he's teaching about the revival of the church. Let me tell you, without a revival, there's no survival. This church is going to die. Every church is going to die. If it doesn't constantly go through a revival, if it gets stuck in doing the same thing, it's going to go one direction or the other. It's going to grow, or it's going to fall back. And the congregation is going to get smaller. And members of the church are going to be less active. So what he teaches is vital for this church. A revival, without it, there is no survival. And so you need to listen to what he's teaching on these Sunday mornings, and you need to look in the personal book. Where? That is a total judgment call on this. Because if you look at the Bible, alcohol is not the issue. It's how we handle the alcohol. And that can be debated. So somebody buys beer. For me, I'm not going to judge them one bit. If they buy wine, I'm not going to judge them one bit. That is a judgment call. If you feel that it's wrong for you to do, then you surely should not do that. So if you would say that I think that's a bad example, then that's one of those belief things that you're building your faith on and you're building your Christianity on. You're growing what you believe in. You should not buy that for you. So we cannot judge those who do. Exactly. That's where you're constantly. I'm not affecting. I'm not looking out for what I want, but I'm looking out. Do I know a brother or sister that has a drinking problem? And this would be a stumbling block for them. Because if we make our brothers and sisters stumble in Christ, that's a bad thing. So we need to be constantly looking at everything we do in life. This is the right thing to do. So, but on the other aspect of it, if we're constantly looking, which way should I go? Is it right or is it left? If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you study God's Word, you're into it, and trying to be faithful, the Holy Spirit will be back. You're going to make a right today. Tomorrow I'm going to tell you to make a right. I'm going more detail than that in the sermon. So we're not going to go really deep in that because that's going to give you a little heads up on it. But we're going to talk about that more. But I like the discussion we brought up because we've got to make those decisions. But the whole focus is on focusing God's calling, on studying His Word, on doing the part that we need to do because it will lead us in the right direction. This is the time we've got to probably. I'll wrap. I'll